Our president will start a war with Iran because he has absolutely no ability to negotiate. He's weak and he's ineffective. So the only way he figures that he's going to get reelected, and as sure as you're sitting there, is to start a war with Iran. The war in Iraq, we spent $2 trillion, thousands of lives. We don't even have it. Iran is taking over Iraq with the second largest oil reserves in the world. Obviously, it was a mistake.
So
George Bush made a mistake. We can make mistakes, but that one was a beauty. We should have never been in Iraq. We have destabilized the Middle East.
But so you still think he should be impeached?
I think it's my turn, isn't it?
You do whatever you want. You call it whatever you want. I want to tell you, they lied.
Okay.
They said there were weapons of mass destruction. There were none, and they knew there were none.
I want to get out. I want to bring our troops back home. I want to start rebuilding our nation. We will have, as of 3 months ago, $7 trillion in the Middle East over the last 17 years. We get nothing, nothing out of it.
Lindsey Graham just said of your remarks that you made in the Oval Office that if you keep talking like that, quote, this will be a disaster worse than Obama's decision to leave Iraq.
No, Lindsey Graham would like to stay in the Middle East for the next 1,000 years with thousands of soldiers and fighting other people's wars. I want to get out of the Middle East.
We are finally putting America first. Our policy of never-ending war, regime change, and nation building is being replaced by the clear-eyed pursuit of American interests.
There you go.
It is the job of our military to protect our security, not to be the policeman of the world. Unlike previous administrations, I have kept America out of new wars, and our troops are coming home. Instead of these endless wars, we're forging peace in the Middle East and peace without blood all over the sand.
You'll have peace in the Middle East, and this is without war and without losing, and I'm talking about on both sides, but without losing our great young soldiers. You know, I go to Dover, and I greet oftentimes soldiers coming in, and they're dead. And there's no sadder thing than to sit with a widow or a mother and watch these big, massive cargo planes, and that back opens up, and these incredible Marines are walking off a casket, and they were killed in the Middle East. And in many ways, nobody even knows why. Going there was the worst decision in the history of our country. We've spent $8 trillion.
$8 trillion in the Middle East. And we're not fixing our roads in this country? How stupid. How stupid is it? And we're not fixing our highways, our tunnels, our bridges, our hospitals even, our schools even. It's crazy. When I'm back in the White House on day one, we are returning to a foreign policy that puts America's interests first. We want people to stop dying.
I've been a recovering neocon for 6 years now. Like, the foolishness with which we ricocheted around the world, intervening, think it was in our best interest, when really we just overturned the table and created something worse in almost every single scenario, has led to almost, I mean, the hubris of the Pentagon is that they want to now tell other countries how to do counterinsurgency based on what we did in Iraq and Afghanistan. Are you kidding me? So you really have learned nothing. Okay, nothing. So yeah, you're right. That trust, the trust there that our political leaders or our generals would have our best interests in mind is totally broken. It's totally broken. I acknowledge that completely.
There's never been a more clear choice in any election in my life, and our ability to live in a truly peaceful and free and prosperous country is on the line. I'm a lieutenant colonel in the Army Reserve. I've served now for over 21 years. I've deployed to different war zones 3 times over that period, and I've seen the cost of war. A vote for Kamala Harris is a vote for Dick Cheney. And it's a vote for war, more war, likely World War III and nuclear war. A vote for Donald Trump is a vote for a man who wants to end wars, not start them.
And our interest, I think, very much is in not going to war with Iran, right?
Right.
It would be a huge distraction of resources. It would be massively expensive to our country. America doesn't have to constantly police every region of the world. We should empower people to police their own regions of the world, right? Yeah. And one, we would save a lot of money. Two, we'd save a lot of focus. But unfortunately, I think Harris, she's got this weird thing where I actually think she kind of likes war. Maybe she feels like a tough guy about it. Yeah. I don't know why it is, but they've actually pursued, even though they say they want to minimize Palestinian civilian casualties, they pursued the pathway that maximizes those casualties. They say that they're pro-Israel. They've pursued the pathway that has prolonged the war as long as possible, which is bad for Israel. And they seem to be sort of sleepwalking us into war with Iran. It's like the dumbest of all possible worlds.
So do I think that we're at the greatest risk of a third world war in my lifetime, Charlie? Absolutely, I do. And if there is a third world war, it is the people in this room who are going to be drafted and called upon to fight it. I don't want that. I do not want you guys to have to put on a uniform, not because you're patriotic and volunteer, but because your country forces you to, because Kamala Harris has blundered us into another significant conflict. But the opportunity to stop that and to take the country in a new direction is this election. So get out there and vote.
Obliterate the deep state, drain the swamp, and starve the warmongers, these people that want wars all over the place, killing, killing, killing. They love killing. And the globalists out of our government. We're going to get the warmongers and the globalists out of our government. In addition, there must also be a complete commitment to dismantling the entire globalist neocon establishment that is perpetually dragging us into endless wars, pretending to fight for freedom and democracy abroad, while they turn us into a third world country and a third world dictatorship right here at home. The State Department, the defense bureaucracy, the intelligence services, and all of the rest need to be completely overhauled and reconstituted to fire the deep staters and put America first. We have to put America first. Like in 2017, we will again build the strongest military the world has ever seen. We will measure our success not only by the battles we win, but also by the wars that we end, and perhaps most importantly, the wars we never get into. My proudest legacy will be that of a peacemaker and unifier. That's what I want to be, a peacemaker and a unifier. That's why in a breakthrough operation last June, the United States military obliterated Iran's nuclear weapons program with an attack on Iranian soil known as Operation Midnight Hammer.
This committee has now set a new precedent about talking to presidents and former presidents. And we're demanding immediately that we ask President Trump to testify in front of our committee and be deposed in front of oversight Republicans and Democrats. And that should happen immediately. He is the person that appears almost more than anyone else in the committee, and it needs to happen right now.
Mr. Chairman.
A short time ago, the United States military began major combat operations in Iran. Our objective is to defend the American people by eliminating imminent threats from the Iranian regime, a vicious group of very hard, terrible people. The lives of courageous American heroes may be lost, and we may have casualties. That often happens in war. But we're doing this not for now. We're doing this for the future, and it is a noble mission. We pray for every service member as they selflessly risk their lives to ensure that Americans and our children will never be threatened by a nuclear-armed Iran.
But Reuters is reporting that the name of this operation, according to the Pentagon, is Epic Fury.
I don't see this as him starting a war. I see this as a preventative measure to prevent a war.
Are you committing that Iran is not and will not build missiles that would have the capability to reach the United States?
I can confirm, yes.
Sir, if that's a red line for you, why is attacking U.S. military bases abroad justified?
But because they are attacking us. They are U.S. military, you know, installations, facilities, bases who are attacking us. We are under attack. This is obvious.
I think what will happen is that even if the United States is able to kill illegally Iranian leaders, the next generation of Iranians, the Iranians that did not see American atrocities in Iran before 1979, some Iranians that did not understand why their parents and grandparents were anti-American, those Iranians will take over. Now they understand why American government is an imperialist, vicious government, and a government that attacks other countries and kills little children. They understand they're fighting the Epstein class that either rape little girls or bomb little girls.
I know you support these strikes, but obviously there's going to be a lot of the president's supporters and people in the United States who listen to what he said on the campaign trail and certainly what he said in his first term and say, you know, this is the president who said he was against regime change in the Middle East, that he was against starting new wars. What do you make of what would you say to them tonight?
Well, I think they made the mistake of believing that Donald Trump had a consistent philosophy, national security strategy, and policy, which he doesn't. My only regret is that I wasn't persuasive enough in the first term to get to this point.
One of the attacks targeted a girls' primary school in the southern city of Minab. Authorities say at least 86 people were killed in the strike.
But America First is to kill people who wish us ill.
News coming out of U.S. Central Command, and this is going to be difficult news for Americans. In a post to social media just within the last 10 minutes, it says three U.S. service members have been killed in action, five seriously wounded as a part of Operation Epic Fury.
The Cuban government is talking with us. They're in a big deal of trouble, as you know. They have no money, they have no anything right now, but they're talking with us. And maybe we'll have a friendly takeover of Cuba.
And to that point, you have the First Lady today, Melania Trump, as the first Lady presiding over the Security Council.
Good afternoon. The 10,113 meeting of the Security Council is called to order.
Talking about education.
The provisional agenda for this meeting is maintenance of international peace and security, children, technology, and education in conflict.
This is a family of peace.
I don't have present day intelligence on what progress they had made towards rebuilding nuclear weapons since we bombed their facilities. I have no indication that they were anywhere close to getting nuclear weapons because our bombing was devastating.
Where, can you just tell me really quickly, where have they killed thousands of Americans in America?
I didn't say they killed thousands of Americans in America. I said that they have been responsible for thousands of Americans being killed. And I think that that's easily something that you can verify. I don't know, state-sponsored terrorism for starters. Why don't you, are you serious right now about that whole thing?
And subjecting our foreign policy to Israeli foreign policy, I have real issue with that. I said it weeks ago on your show, this should not be the path forward. And if the president's chosen to do it, I just wonder who pressured him that much to do it this way.
If you look at Google Trends data right now for the word Trump, look at the rising searches. You'll see the number one rising search in the last 24 hours is a question. The question is, did Trump get congressional approval? The answer is no.
Over the past 36 hours, the United States and its partners have launched Operation Epic Fury, one of the largest, most complex, most overwhelming military offensives the world has ever seen. Nobody's seen anything like it. We pray for the full recovery of the wounded and send our immense love and eternal gratitude to the families of the fallen. And sadly, there will likely be more. Before it ends, that's the way it is. care, everybody. We have a lot of great service members here with us, too, in this beautiful building. Isn't it beautiful? We're adding on to the building a little bit. We're improving the building. See that nice drape? When that comes down right now, you see a very, very deep hole. But in about a year and a half from now, you're going to see a very, very beautiful building. And there's your entrance to it right there. In fact, it looks so nice, I think I'll save money on the doors, because it can't get more beautiful than that. I picked those drapes in my first term. I always liked gold, but I think we can save a lot of money. I just saved curtains. But, and it'll be spectacular. It'll be the most beautiful ballroom. I believe it's because I built many a ballroom. I believe it's going to be the most beautiful ballroom anywhere in the world.
Did the president not run on not starting a war with Iran?
He ran on two things, ending wars. He's ended eight of them. And he also
he
ran on keeping America safe. This isn't a war. We haven't declared war. Everybody
wants
to say
war. Hold on. I want to play the Secretary of Defense, who calls himself the Secretary of War, said today this is a war. Let's watch.
We set the terms of this war from start to finish. We didn't start this war, but under President Trump, we are finishing it.
Is it really not a war?
What he declared on us was war, meaning us as Ayatollah. He declared war on us. We are not at war with the Iranian people. The Ayatollah who declared war on us, we've already taken him out. Now we're eliminating the threat.
There was no imminent threat to the United States of America by the Iranians. There was a threat to Israel. If we equate a threat to Israel as the equivalent of an imminent threat to the United States, then we are in uncharted territory.
And so the president made the very wise decision. We knew that there was going to be an Israeli action. We knew that that would precipitate an attack against American forces. And we knew that if we didn't preemptively go after them before they launched those attacks, we would suffer higher casualties and perhaps even higher those killed. And then we would all be here answering questions about why we knew that and didn't act.
Congress has the authority to declare war. Shouldn't it have authorized this war?
In my view, our military and the commander-in-chief, he is presiding over the completion of an operation that was limited in scope, limited in its objective, and absolutely necessary for our defense. I think that operation will be wound up quickly.
This is absolutely in violation of the Constitution. And my reaction today was, are we still a republic? The president has taken the power of the purse, which belongs to Congress. He's taken the power of taxation that belongs to Congress. He's taken the power of war that belongs to Congress. And the Republican leadership in both houses is absent. They are a rubber stamp. That's what you have in an authoritarian nation. Are we still a republic?
With maximum authorities. No stupid rules of engagement, no nation-building quagmire, no democracy-building exercise, no politically correct wars. We fight to win, and we don't waste time or lives. As the president warned, an effort of this scope will include casualties. War is hell, and always will be. A grateful nation honors the four Americans we have lost thus far and those injured. The absolute best of America.
6 months ago, the American people were told that we use B-2 bunker buster bombs to completely obliterate and destroy Iran's nuclear program. And anybody that said otherwise was fake news.
I think the question is, if you can't clearly articulate why this started, how do you tell people how it's ending?
How do you not clearly articulate how it started? 1983, 1989, 1980,
Our entire— I don't remember hearing any Republicans say, we should vote for Donald Trump because he's going to go to war with Iran for those reasons. I mean, the president actually ran on not going to war with Iran.
So every single policy decision a president makes has to be the centerpiece of a campaign speech, I think.
Well, I think if you say you're not going to do something and then you do it—
suggests a whole new level of sneering at the Constitution, and maybe gives us some standing in court. But it's much better to do something than nothing. If we do nothing, it's like, okay, we don't care if the president's a king and can just take us to war willy-nilly. The Constitution doesn't matter.
It's an unacceptable risk, especially in the hands of a regime that's run by radical clerics. The Ayatollah was a radical cleric. That entire regime is led by radical clerics who don't make geopolitical decisions. They make decisions on the basis of theology, their view of theology, which is an apocalyptic one. That has to be taken very seriously as well. So that was the purpose for what this operation is all about.
You can't have a nuclear bomb. Radical Islamists can't have a nuclear bomb that they wield against the world. He gave them every single opportunity. Then we precisely took it away. And even then, after that, they didn't have that. They didn't come to the table with a willingness to give it away.
Yeah, so we attacked Iran because after we took away their nuclear weapons, they wouldn't give us their nuclear weapons.
War is ugly. It smells bad. And if anybody's ever been there and been able to smell the war that's happened around you and taste it and feel it in your nostrils and hear it, it's something that you'll never forget. And it's ugly. And fortunately, you have Secretary Hegseth, that has got a great relationship with President Trump. And President Hegseth's been there. He's done that.
The thing that really, really disturbs me a lot is the havoc being with no clear objective what we're trying to accomplish. And now Rubio telling us, you know, we're doing this because Israel is going to attack.
There are people that say, well, the prime minister of Israel dragged Donald Trump into it. And as somebody that's been friends with him over 30 years, nobody drags Donald Trump into anything, number one. But I want to get your reaction to that.
Are you kidding? We are now we're the little pet puppy with Netanyahu walking us around on a leash and saying, hey, I'm going to attack Iran. So you all better just do what you need to do. And we're like, oh, OK.
What are your thoughts?
Well, you're right. I did have spoken about it for decades, and I try to persuade successive American administrations to take firm action.
I guess we better act as if we don't have any leverage with Israel. Say, hell no, you're not going to attack Iran. We're not going to engage in negotiations that are fake negotiations.
We're fighting here the bad guys. We're the good guys.
Have we been reduced to just a little puppet of Netanyahu?
I just want to say I am more fearful than ever after this briefing that we may be putting boots on the ground and that troops from the United States may be necessary to accomplish objectives that the administration seems to have. But I also am no more clear on what the priorities are going to be of the administration.
Listen, let me explain to you guys this in simple English, okay? Iran is run by lunatics, religious fanatic lunatics.
So I'm calling on President Trump today. Join Israel to attack Hezbollah.
Senator Lindsey Graham is now calling for the U.S. to start bombing Lebanon in response to the Hezbollah IDF action.
Lindsey hadn't seen a fist fight he hasn't wanted to turn into a bombing, right? So I just take it with a grain of salt.
Well, I thought that's part of, a regime change. It's like the top 55 of them were killed, and I think they just blew up 80 of the random mullahs, too. That was pretty great, actually. So,
well, most of the people we had in mind are dead. So, you know, we had some in mind from that group that is dead. And now we have another group. They may be dead also, based on reports. So I guess you have a third wave coming in. Pretty soon we're not going to know anybody.
You'll concede this is war.
We haven't declared war. They declared war on us, but we haven't.
War, Secretary Hegseth.
We haven't declared war. Just now you said this is war.
They called it war.
What I was saying, okay, well, that was a misspoke.
Iran has posed an imminent risk to the United States for 47 years.
Why shouldn't have Congress voted to authorize this war before it began, given that service members are losing their lives over this?
Yes, and I take that very personally. Obviously, I've served. My daughter serves on active duty now. But I would love for anyone to name the last time Congress authorized operations or strikes in other countries.
Iraq and Afghanistan. This
so
is serious.
We're just a few days in.
We knew that there was going to be an Israeli action. We knew that that would precipitate an attack against American forces. And we knew that if we didn't preemptively go after them before they launched those attacks, we would suffer higher casualties.
Yesterday, you told us that
Israel was going to strike Iran, and that's why we needed to get involved. Today, the president said that Iran was going to get
Yeah, your statement is false. So that's not what I was asked very specifically. Were you there yesterday?
Yes, I asked
Okay. No, were you the one that, because somebody asked me a question yesterday, did we go in because of Israel? And I said, you asked me that, you from that follow up. And I said, no. I told you this had to happen anyway.
And now Spain actually said that we can't use their bases, and that's all right. We could use their base if we want. We could just fly in and use it. Nobody's going to tell us not to use it.
The idea that a few colleagues here would try to move a war powers motion and resolution to the floor right now is dangerous. Imagine a scenario where Congress would vote to tell the commander in chief that he was no longer allowed to complete this mission. That would be a very dangerous thing.
Look, no one wants a nuclear war. No one wants a nuclear Israel, but we certainly don't want an endless war, plain and simple. What did I say? Oh, no. Got it. Let me say that again. No one wants an endless war, but we certainly don't want a nuclear Iran. That's for sure.
I guess the worst case would be we do this and then somebody takes over who's as bad as the previous person, right? That could happen. We don't want that to happen. That would probably be the worst. You go through this and then in 5 years you realize you put somebody in who was no better.
Just days before the U.S. launched a major military operation in Iran, sources tell CNN FBI Director Kash Patel fired a dozen agents and staff members from a counterintelligence unit that was tasked with monitoring threats from Iran. They were ousted because each was involved in the investigation of President Trump's alleged retention of classified documents at his Mar-a-Lago estate.
I'll tell you what, I have never had more compliments on something I did. People felt it's something that had to be done. So. If we have a little high oil prices for a little while, but as soon as this ends, those prices are going to drop.
And also joining us today, Kaylee McGee White, Fox News contributor, and Benjamin Hall, Fox News senior correspondent and author of the new children's book, Read All About It. Now, CENTCOM also releasing this new video of long-range missiles used in Operation Epic Fury.
Iran has attacked three of our U.S. embassies in the last couple of days. Okay, those are sovereign territories of the U.S. They have declared war on us. I don't believe in the semantics. We've talked about the language this morning. We're not at war right now. We're 4 days in to a very specific, clear mission, an operation, Operation Epic Fury.
We're here because President Trump launched a war of choice. A war for which he has no clear reasons. It's a shifting set of rationales that are dizzying and insulting to every freedom-loving American. He did so with no clear plan or path to victory. He did so with no end game. He cannot, has not, I hope he will, but he simply has not answered the most fundamental question of how does this end?
But it's not just that the administration isn't answering questions. They're just lying. So we know that the rationales for why the end of this war keeps shifting, it was about nuclear weapons, then it was about regime change, then it was about threat reduction, then it was about preventing a preemptive attack, then it was back to regime change. And that was all on a Sunday. And then the next day, on Monday, Secretary of Defense says, no, this is not about regime change. And so we don't really know why we're at war with Iran.
I have had my fair share of words with our speaker, the Speaker of the House, who is the speaker for the entire House. And I have a certain amount, not even a certain amount, an enormous amount of disdain for him at this point in time, because it's his responsibility to bring us into Congress, to make us be able to be here, to be able to have votes, to be able to have conversations. And he has abdicated that responsibility, unfortunately, on behalf of all of us. And that also trickles down, evidently, to the chairman of different committees that you mentioned. Intelligence has been completely MIA. Chairman Crawford has declined and denied and canceled meeting after meeting after meeting in the Intelligence Committee and hasn't asked for the information that must be available or at least should be available to Intelligence Committee members. Similarly, with the Foreign Affairs Committee, Chairman Mast is an embarrassment, I have to be honest. The fact that he has canceled Foreign Affairs Committee hearing meetings as well is another indication that they are completely abdicating their responsibility, the constitutional obligation of the Congress, and as a result, are anointing or appointing President Trump as a king.
Mr. Speaker, James Madison wrote to Thomas Jefferson in 1789, "The Constitution supposes what the history of all governments demonstrates, that the executive branch of power is the most interested in war and most prone to it. It has accordingly, with studied care, vested the question of war in the legislature. The Constitution is clear. Article 1, Section 8, Clause 11 of our Constitution provides Congress initiatory powers of war. Article 2, Section 2, Clause 1 of our Constitution gives the president operational powers of war to wage that war. Even if this body were to pretend that the 1973 War Powers Resolution supersedes the clear language of the Constitution, the president still has not met the conditions required by that law itself."
He and the administration have refused to rule out ground troops. And Don, there could not have been a more dishonest campaign for president in modern history than Trump and Vance pretending they were going to be the pro-peace candidates. You remember when they said Vice President Harris is going to get us in war in Iran. She's going to create World War III. What happened to all of that?
Flying over Tehran, flying over Iran, flying over their capital, flying over the IRGC, Iranian leaders looking up and seeing only U.S. and Israeli air power every minute of every day until we decide it's over. And Iran will be able to do nothing about it.
Listen, the United States and Israel are ironclad partners. We need them in the Middle East. We need them to be strong. We have a biblical responsibility to them as well as an allied responsibility.
This isn't just a spat between nations over a border, a little bit of land. That isn't it. This literally goes back to the Garden of Eden with Satan and Satan's hatred for God.
B-2s, B-52s, B-1s, Predator drones, fighters controlling the skies, picking targets. Death and destruction from the sky all day long. Our warfighters have maximum authorities granted personally by the president and yours truly.
I rise in support of this War Powers Resolution today because the moral hazard posed by a government no longer constrained by our Constitution is a grave threat. The threat to a government no longer constrained by the plain meaning of words is not new for Democrats. Recall that Democrats needed help answering, what is a woman? Unfortunately, Republicans now want to claim they can't answer, what is a war?
Sir, a memo circulating on social media details the establishment of a National Guard response force that's going to be trained in crowd control and civil unrest and deployed in all 50 states by April of 2026. Can you verify the authenticity of that memo, and do you have any more information on the operations?
I'm not going to answer particulars on something that may be in the planning process.
Hey, everybody, Tim Burchett. The House just did the most disgusting thing I've ever seen. We just voted to cover up sexual harassment of employees by members, if you can believe that. I got the sponsor right here with me, got Boebert. Y'all tell him what happened.
It's shameful. They voted against my resolution. That would reveal members of Congress who sexually harass employees on the Hill, women on the Hill, in the campaigns, lobbyists, et cetera. Shameful. So I don't want to hear.
They sent it to the Ethics Committee. So a bunch of congressmen are going to investigate
so
themselves.
So let it go get hidden, right?
Yeah, this is exactly where bills go to die.
I have to go back and look at the war. You know, I have a lot of things happening. Thank you, Bernie. You're doing a great job.
Israel is the reason for this war. America does not want to fight this war for Israel.
Let's go. Come on. Let's go.
America does not want to send its sons and daughters to war for Israel. Your inability to name that shows you that
correctness as leaders.
Now, this is wrong.
Stop.
And nobody wants to fight for Israel.
Commandant, please stand up as a Marine and stand up for America. Out. No one wants to fight for Israel.
Sir, thank you for your service.
Everybody sit down, please.
Oh, my God. What is
that? Okay, good. No, it's not.
Oh, my God.
It's disgusting.
Oh, my God, you guys.
Sorry, is that hair? Can you open it up a little bit just to, like, change the gap?
Hey, guys, clear the hallways.
Out.
Clear the hallways.
Out.
Clear the hallways. Please. Clear the hallways, please.
Can you help him?
On this vote, the yeas are 212, the nays are 219. The concurrent resolution is not adopted.
The dumb, politically correct wars of the past were the opposite of what we're doing here.
Mr. Speaker, nobody is defending the Ayatollah. There is no love lost for a brutal government that sponsors terror and murders their people. Iran has been doing this for decades. Everybody knows that. And so my question is this. Why wasn't Donald Trump in favor of regime change until this weekend? Why did he campaign on swearing he would never send American kids to fight and die in the Middle East? Republicans can't answer because they were against war with Iran until exactly the second Donald Trump decided to go to war. And now they're all running around sounding like neocon lunatics. America can't take this level of gaslighting. I went to the classified briefing. There was no imminent threat. I guess unless Republicans want to redefine the word imminent to mean stretching back 47 years. This whole thing is just so transparently built on lies. Republicans went from imminent threat to regime change to nukes back to imminent threat in the last 24 hours. I'll tell you what this is, Mr. Speaker. This is Iraq 2.0. I still remember the lies about WMDs. I voted against that war, too. At least George Bush had the decency to lie to people's face. And by the way, no congressional vote can legitimize this because there was no imminent threat. There was no UN Security Council resolution. So this war is illegal, no matter what you want to call it. And it's not Donald Trump's kids that will have to go fight and die for their draft-dodging dad. It's not the children of the billionaire Epstein class. It's working-class kids who are going to put their lives on the line. Shame on Republicans. I'm sick of this BS. We're spending billions of dollars a day on a war, and we can't even get Republicans to join us to expand health care in America. How the hell is this America first? You guys broke your top campaign promise. Good luck with that. I hope the defense contractor money was worth it. Shame on you all. The mask is off.
I said, you gotta lighten up on this. We have a lot of heart for people. They came in illegally, but they're good people, and they're working now on farms, and they're working in luncheonettes and hotels and all. And we're looking to get the criminals out right now.
Mr. Colby, these articles detail a plan that you were a part of crafting to send more than 23,000 troops to all 50 states as part of a domestic civil disturbance quick reaction force. Are these reports accurate?
Ma'am, I'd have to get back to you with an answer.
You can't tell us now whether you were a part of this planning or this exists at all?
Ma'am, I just want to make sure I give you accurate answers, and we'll get back to you as soon as possible on the specifics.
I look forward to that. Are American cities, our communities in this country, an appropriate training ground for our military?
I mean, I think we have training grounds, if you're using the term, ma'am, literally, throughout the United States. But, I mean, I think the U.S. forces can be deployed in the country for lawful purposes, and they would be. I wouldn't probably characterize them as training grounds myself, but...
You wouldn't. Well, what do you think the president meant when he said on September 30th, 2025, that, quote, we should use American cities as, quote, training grounds for our military National Guard?
San Francisco, Chicago, New York, Los Angeles, they're very unsafe places, and we're going to straighten them out. It'll be a major part for some of the people in this room. That's a war, too. It's a war from within. It's really a very important mission. And I told Pete, we should use some of these dangerous cities as training grounds for our military, National Guard, but military.
I wouldn't speak for the president. If his words speak for themselves, and we follow his instructions, ma'am.
President Trump has reestablished the Monroe Doctrine, the Trump corollary of the Monroe Doctrine, or if you'd like, for short, you can just call it the Donroe Doctrine. This conference is not called the America apostrophe S, America's Counter-Cartel Conference. It's the Americas. At long last, putting America, Americans, and the Americas first, ensuring peace through strength and restoring common sense. We will make the Americas great again.
Next one is going to be, we want to do that special. Cuba, he's waiting, but he says, let's get this one finished first. We could do them all at the same time, but bad things happen.
Hey, everyone. I know it's hard to be shocked these days, but here we are. And this one is a real doozy. Some U.S. military commanders are describing what's happening in Iran as a holy war. Troops have told watchdog groups that they were briefed by commanders who described the war as part of God's divine plan, with references to biblical prophecy. One commander allegedly told his troops that President Trump had been anointed by Jesus to light the signal fire in Iran to cause Armageddon and mark his return to Earth. Yeah. The U.S. military, of course, is one of the most powerful institutions on Earth, and it's governed, at least in theory, by the Constitution, civilian leadership, and centuries of rules that were designed to keep personal ideology out of decisions about war and peace. So hearing a geopolitical conflict described as a religious mission should make every American really uncomfortable. But according to recent reports, more than 200 service members have already raised concerns about this framing, saying it could violate the principles of religious freedom within the armed forces. Now, if this rhetoric really is being used inside our military, that deserves serious scrutiny from Congress, from the Pentagon, and from us, the American public.
Strike and 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 strike until you have victory for every enemy that is aligned against you. Let there be that we would strike the ground, for you will give us victory, God. I hear a sound of abundance of rain. I hear a sound of victory. I hear a sound of shouting and singing. I hear a sound of victory. I hear a sound of an abundance of rain. I hear a sound of victory. I hear a sound of an abundance of rain. I hear a sound of victory. The Lord says it is done. The Lord says it is done. The Lord says it is done. For I hear victory, 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 victory in the quarters of heaven. In the quarters of heaven, victory, 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 victory. For angels are being released right now. Angels are being dispatched right now. Hamanda aka ata raka te da baka sanda ata ambo osa kata rite eke banda ata rike ti diasha.
Lifting up the arms of our president. We pray for your continued blessing and favor to rest upon him. We pray for wisdom from heaven to flood his heart, his mind, and Lord, you will guide him in these challenging times that we're facing today. I pray for your grace and your protection over him. I pray for your grace and protection over our troops and all of our men and women serving in our armed forces. And Father, we just pray you'll continue to give our president the strength that he needs to lead our great nation as we come back to one nation under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all. We pray your heavenly blessing upon him in Jesus' name.
Amen.
Turned to Cuba. He said, without being asked, Cuba is going to fall pretty soon, by the way, but Cuba is going to fall. They want to make a deal so badly. And I asked, how so? He said, they want to make a deal, so I'm going to put Marco over there and we'll see how that works.
We're not just supporting Israel in this. We're not just taking an unbelievable terrorist organization that wants to kill all Americans off the table. We are supporting the entire world, the entire free world right now with what we're doing. So there's no comparison to the money we're spending right now. It's a drop in the bucket.
Tonight will be our biggest bombing campaign, and we'll do the most damage.
What I call a peace operation, because that's what it is. Peace through strength. This is peace through strength. This is a peace mission.
The White House has been, in at least one way, treating going to war like a game, frivolously, releasing what we will charitably call hype videos about their war. Here's the latest video from the White House released just a few hours ago.
Here we go again. Here we go again.
In a video posted on Wednesday, the White House used a clip from Call of Duty video game along with more bombing footage. White House Communications Director Stephen Chung responded to the criticism over this bonkers video, writing on X or Twitter, quote, W's in the chat, boys. For those of you unfamiliar, that's gamer slang for celebrating a win.
You want to see me do it again? You want to see me do it again? You want to see me do it again?
Now, the White House followed that up last night with a video putting together clips from Hollywood movies and TV shows such as Iron Man, Star Wars, Breaking Bad, Better Call Saul.
Wake up, Daddy's home.
Welcome home, son.
Strength and honor.
Strength and honor.
What will you do without freedom?
Maverick's inbound.
You can't conceive.
It is perhaps worth noting that many of the folks, the characters the White House is lionizing in those clips are actually bad guys. Kylo Ren from the Star Wars movies. He embraced the dark side, guys. Spoiler alert, he killed his dad, the beloved character Han Solo. Does the White House even care who the good guys and bad guys are these days?
The president was hosting this NCAA event, and he took a couple questions. I asked him about this report that the Russians are, and you'll excuse me, I just ran out here. I asked him about this report that the Russians are helping the Iranians target Americans. And the president, who wanted to stay on topic, said he thought that was a stupid question.
That's an easy problem compared to what we're doing here. but can I be honest? It's just, I have a lot of respect for you. You've always been very nice to me. What a stupid question that is to be asking at this time.
Brett.
Nice job, jogging to the camera. I know how that goes.
Does this put U.S. personnel in any more danger than they otherwise would be?
Well,
the Russian involvement.
No one's putting us in danger. We're putting the other guys in danger. That's our job. So we're not concerned about that. We mitigate it as we need to. Our commanders factor all of this. But the only ones that need to be worried right now are Iranians that think they're going to live.
Welcome back to Is It War? World War I.
War.
Correct. World War II.
War.
Correct. The Vietnam War.
War.
Oh, I'm sorry, Carl. That was a congressionally authorized counteroffensive. Don't worry, we get right back on track with the Korean War.
War.
No, that was police action.
No, they had tanks and stuff.
Well, the police have tanks now, don't they, Carl?
Yes, you have the Declaration of Independence.
What does it mean to you?
Well, it means exactly what it says. It's a declaration. It's a declaration of unity and love and respect, and it means a lot, and it's something very special to our country.
Nothing says peace like war in the Middle East. God, I hate being a veteran. While everyone else was sleeping, I watched the U.S. join Israel in dropping bombs on a country that's been 2 weeks away from having nukes since I was born. Which was back when Apple released the Macintosh 2 before the internet. My, what a long 2 weeks it has been. Mr. No New Wars put on his stupid hat, got on Truth Social, and declared we were at war, even though that's not how that works. And now the Ayatollah, an 87-year-old man in poor health, is dead, and there is a power vacuum in the region. And that's never gone poorly for us before.
We are just going to take out the Ayatollah. Oh, really? What comes next? What comes after regime change? Might be, oh, well, we need a small number of U.S. troops to support the new regime. We have seen this play before. Regime change, you have no idea how this is going to work out. You have no idea.
My, how safe we all are now from those non-existent nukes that...
They're probably a week away from having industrial-grade bomb-making material.
We had a treaty for them not to make, but Donald Trump himself got rid of it.
Because they said they were done trying to build a nuclear weapon, yet they're obviously trying to rebuild it.
Right.
We're not going to let that happen.
If we obliterated it, we being the United States last summer.
Yeah. Iran's key nuclear enrichment facilities have been completely and totally obliterated.
Then why are you worried about it right now? If
because
it was
they're rebuilding it. And you can see them rebuilding it.
But it was not obliterated. Enriching.
Well, but it doesn't mean you can't rebuild. I mean, people have car accidents and obliterate their bones and their legs, and yet they can still put, they can still put metal back in them and walk again.
But I think if it was obliterated in June, how is it February, and we're now, as Steve Witkoff put it, a week away from Iran having this?
I don't know.
Iran has already made counterattacks at a bunch of U.S. bases. But don't worry, Donald said that would happen. In fact, he got out and said some service members are going to die.
And sadly, there will likely be more. Before it ends, that's the way it is.
And he's okay with that.
I'm just damn furious, you know. The man's a five-time draft dodger. He's an elite. I went to war. I fought with working-class kids. They're the ones that do the fighting and dying. And how amazing of Donald Trump to say, you know, that often happens in war, and that's a cost he's willing to take. Great for him. It's not his kids. It's not his family. It's not his billionaire donors who are having to go off and do it. This is everything that's wrong with our national security infrastructure and our policies, right? Elites make decisions. They talk tough. They pound their chests. And then everybody else is left holding the bag.
And sadly, there will likely be more. Before it ends, that's the way it is.
Insert Farquaad meme.
Some of you may die, but it's a sacrifice I am willing to make.
Why is he doing this? Maybe because Israel goaded him into it, because they've been trying to attack Iran with U.S. help since I was born. Or maybe it's because the Ayatollah insulted him directly. Or maybe it's for oil. Or maybe it's to distract from the financier's flight log fiasco. I saw some comments say, this is like sh** your pants and then slapping a child to distract from it. But since our president very famously has sh** himself on television, I don't think that analogy goes far enough. Best case scenario, using best very liberally, is that he attacks a couple more times, feels like he did a good big boy job, and then he stops. Worst case would be him sending in troops to stabilize the region, which I desperately hope he doesn't do, because if you know anything about the terrain of Iran, you know it would make the Iraq War look like a prance through Candyland. This was a stupid decision made by an incompetent president and his cabal of morons. It is both politically, militarily, and ethically unsound, and it's going to cause problems for everybody around the world for decades to come. And if he really wanted to help the Iranian people, who were protesting the Ayatollah a few months ago, he wouldn't have waited until tens of thousands of them were dead in the streets to make a move. United States military can deploy a Burger King anywhere on Earth within 48 hours. And yet he spent weeks arranging his toys around the country in a show of force and then did a big bombing so he could feel like a wartime man. I hate this. And I hate all the people that said that Hillary and Kamala would get us into endless wars who are now fans of endless wars. And I hate all the people that insulted me for being a part of the Afghanistan campaign that Trump made sure ended poorly, but it just happened to end under Biden because of all the decisions that Trump made right before he left office. But all of that, forget about that. War in the Middle East, good now, actually. I hate being a veteran, and I hate watching my country make the same stupid decisions again and again and again.
There will always be some uncertainty about how quickly he can acquire a nuclear weapon. But we don't want the smoking gun to be a mushroom cloud.
Right from the beginning, we projected 4 to 5 weeks. But we have capability to go far longer than that. We'll do it. Whatever somebody said today, they said, oh, well, if the president wants to do it really quickly, after that, he'll get bored. I don't get bored. There's nothing boring about this. Do you agree with that, Pete? I don't think there's anything, Mr. General. I think there's nothing boring about it. Somebody actually said from the media, I think you'll get bored after about a week or two. No, we don't get bored. I never get bored.
Okay, the first and second Iraq war.
War.
They identify as military action. It's a bit like pronouns, except we kill people.
I can't tell you if the use of force in Iraq today would last 5 days or 5 weeks or 5 months, but it certainly isn't going to last any longer than that.
President Trump has all the latitude in the world to talk about how long it may or may not take, 4 weeks, 2 weeks, 6 weeks.
Do you think it will be a long war or a short war?
My own judgment, based on my time as Secretary of Defense, And having operated in this area in the past, I'm confident that our troops will be successful, and I think it'll go relatively quickly. But you can't count on that. Weeks rather than months.
The only limits we have in this is President Trump's desire to achieve specific effects on behalf of the American people. And that's why we don't talk about, you know, you can say 4 weeks, but it could be six, it could be eight, it could be three.
It is not knowable if force will be used, but if it is to be used, it is not knowable how long that conflict would last. It could last, you know, 6 days, 6 weeks. I doubt 6 months.
All right, how about Libya?
War.
I'm sorry, that was kinetic action, not a war. Venezuela.
It was an act of war, I think.
No, I'm sorry, that was a law enforcement operation, not a war.
Right now, you don't.
Yeah,
you're playing
cards.
You're playing cards. You're gambling with the lives of millions of people.
You're
gambling with World War III. You're gambling with World War III.
How does that pan out for the rest of us when we have a president of the United States who doesn't think and is convinced he's not going to heaven? What does that mean his decision making is? He already said to the New York Post today that he doesn't care about the polling. He doesn't care about what the American people think, and he may put troops on the ground. He took this is going to be a few day war, to now it's going to be maybe 4 weeks or more. I want to say, what is happening to the man that I supported, you supported, the man that denounced what happened in Iraq, the man that said no more foreign wars, no more regime change, promise it on the campaign.
Under Trump, we will have no more wars.
I'm not going to start a war. I'm going to stop wars.
No more wars. We will have prosperity and we will have peace.
J.D. Vance promised it.
But if you're worried about the world spinning out of control, if you're worried about a military draft, if you're worried about, God forbid, a world war, the best way to prevent it is to vote for Donald Trump. And I really believe that.
Tulsi Gabbard promised it.
Here are the steps that Donald Trump has taken to create a war with Iran.
All of them promised it, and we're a year in, and we're in another f-ing war, and we've got American troops being killed. I think it's time for America to rip the Band-Aid off, and we need to have a serious conversation about what the f- is happening to this country?
Amazing news, everyone. We are the richest country in the history of the world.
Yeah, so we've heard. Can we have healthcare?
No, that would never work.
Can we have affordable housing?
Why would we do that when there's private equity?
What about public transportation?
Well, think of the auto industry. Come on.
Can we have childcare and parental leave?
No, we're gonna need you to get back to work.
Can we take care of our planet?
Stop. Don't let the guys from Big Oil hear, okay? You'll hurt their feelings.
Can we raise the minimum wage?
You already get $7 an hour. They'll be so greedy.
Can we make college accessible?
Well, then how would we even keep you in debt?
Thing. Sorry. So what can we have?
War.
We can always, always, always afford war.
Iran.
It's a war. We're doing war things.
No, not war things. Preemptive retaliatory de-escalation action.
No, that's not a thing.
All right,
that's...
judges. Okay. How about the war on terrorism?
War.
No, it was a coalition-led conditional operation. How about Afghanistan?
Afghanistan was the war on terror.
No, I'm sorry. That was a pre-authorized defense stabilization initiative.
Okay, can somebody tell me the rules here?
Here's what happens in many countries around the world. You have a leader that emerges and basically says, forget, don't put your faith in yourselves, don't put your faith in society, put your faith in me. I'm a strong leader, and I'm going to make things better by myself. This is very typical. You see it in the third world. You see it a lot in Latin America for decades. It's basically the argument he's making that he single-handedly is going to turn the country around. We've never been that kind of country. We have a president. The president is an American citizen who serves for a period of time, constrained by the constitutions and the powers vested in that office. The president works for the people, not the people for the president. And if you listen to the way he describes himself and what he's going to do, he's going to single-handedly do this and do that without regard for whether it's legal or not. I think people are going to have to make up their mind. I can tell you this, no matter what happens in this election, for years to come, there are many people on the right, in the media, and voters at large that are going to be having to explain and justify how they fell into this trap of supporting Donald Trump, because this is not going to end well one way or the other.
So did you ever hear the statement by, I believe it was Lenin. Did anyone ever hear of Lenin? People would say it with less sophistication, Lenin. Lenin, I like the way they say that, where he said, the vote counter is far more important than the candidate. Well, that turned out to be true. The vote counter is far more important than the candidate, said by Lenin.
Legal elections.
So you say during the war you can't have elections. So let me just say 3.5 years from now. So you mean if we happen to be in a war with somebody, no more elections? Oh, that's good. I wonder what the fake.
You like this idea?
No.
Maybe we do one more term. Should we do one more term? Do one more term. One more. Well, we're entitled to it because they cheated like hell in the second one. So we would actually be entitled to it. But think of it. The price of eggs is down.
I'm 65 years old. I'm legally blind. I'm on disability. I went to my doc and I lost 28 pounds in the last year. I did not need to lose 28 pounds. I did not try to lose 28 pounds. I lost the 28 pounds because I cannot afford to eat anymore. I have 3 potatoes. I have 1/2 tomato. I have 3 bananas, 1 apple, 1 can of soup, 1/2 loaf of bread, 1 egg, and 1 can of green beans. I do not get paid until the 3rd. I am disability blind. I cannot drive a car. I'm 15 miles out of town. So I am not able to just trot my butt down to the food shelf. I used to volunteer at the food shelf. I can't even do that anymore. I don't understand. I'd like somebody to explain to me, why is it always the poor people that are helping the poor people? I don't understand. But what I want to say, Mimi, is that it's really close to coming. Like that man said, the end is coming near, and it can't be any more true for me.
It's going to be hard in certain areas. Now, you know what solves it? When the economy crashes, when the country goes to total hell,
yeah,
and everything is a disaster, then you'll have you'll have riots to go back to where we used to be when we were great.
All the way back, dated to the Monroe Doctrines. And the Monroe Doctrine is a big deal, but we've superseded it by a lot, by a real lot. They now call it the Donroe Doctrine.
Well, Mr. President, it's an honor to be here and to establish in this hemisphere peace through strength.
For far too long, our country's gaze was only on borders in far-flung places. Not our own border, not our own hemisphere, not the Western hemisphere. President Trump has established the Trump corollary of the Monroe Doctrine, the Donroe Doctrine. And the War Department is implementing it as fast as we can.
Not worthy of heaven, I'm not going to make it. And I was having a good time going, you know, I was having fun. I hope to make it. But I doubt I will, to be honest with you. A lot of you will, I'm not so sure.
They make decisions on the basis of theology, their view of theology, which is an apocalyptic one. That has to be taken very seriously as well.
Well, I'll tell you what she told me. This is what I put in writing part of it. She said, there are people in power. I put this in writing in 2012. She said, there are people in power. And I'm not going to say where she focused my thoughts on that, but they're scripted in the book of Revelation to bring about Armageddon and the end of the world. They're doing it intentionally, and that's what she told me.
And today, Jennifer and I and others had a chance to go see the Western Wall of the Temple Mount. The Western Wall tunnels, so much of the old city. And as you stand there, you can't help but behold the miracle before you. And it got me thinking about another miracle that I hope all of you don't see too far away. Because 1917 was a miracle. 1948 was a miracle. 1967 was a miracle. 2017, the declaration of Jerusalem as the capital was a miracle. And there's no reason why the miracle of the reestablishment of the temple on the Temple Mount is not possible.
Under the previous administration, we looked like fools. Not anymore.
I used to watch in amazement at how stupid our country was, how stupid they were. And we're not stupid anymore.
Hello, everyone. It's President Donald J. Trump, and it's Trump time. Check out this red beauty. It's one of my new watches. Wear it proudly on your wrist.
And the president have both said that there's benefits to be
right,
had.
Well, the president of the United States is f***ing lying. I think his whole administration has completely lost their f***ing mind.
Wake the f*** up. It's time for a revolution. It's time for the people versus the government. The politicians can't save us. Y'all better wake up or ever be complicit. With your motherfucking leaders eating kids,
God. It's clear that the world is run by these individuals who have a lot of power. We don't know who they are, but they control the military. They control the national security apparatus. And these people, there are different names for these people. You can call them the Illuminati. And the Illuminati are composed of three major groups, okay? You have the Jesuits, who control the Vatican. You have the Sabbatine Frankists, which control the modern state of Israel today. And you have the Freemasons, which control the national security apparatus of the United States. And they believe that Israel, this war in the Middle East, is key to the end times in creating heaven on earth. So it's almost like a script that they're following, even though it doesn't make any geopolitical sense.
I can't believe it. We got good reviews in that speech. Usually they say he's a horrible dictator type person. I'm a dictator. But sometimes you need a dictator.
And put America first. We have to put America first. America first. America first. America first. America first. America first. America first.
All right, don't cross this line. Otherwise, I can't support you. Okay, I can't stay mad at you. But this one, for sure. This is war.
This is war. This is war. This is war. This is war. This is war. This is war. This is war. This is war. This is war. This is war. This is war. This is war. This is war. This is war. This is war. This is war. This is war. This is war. This is war. This is war.
When this regime goes down, we're going to have a new Mideast. We're going to make a ton of money. See this, that? Make Iran great. President Trump said the only way to make Iran great is for the people to take over. Free Cuba. Stay tuned. Yeah. The liberation of Cuba is upon us. It's just a matter of time.
So Cuba has completely fallen. If you don't know what's going on, go check it out. America's been keeping oil out of Cuba for 15, 20 days. I don't know, longer than that. The entire infrastructure is gone. There's no power, and even if they got oil at this point, it wouldn't matter. They are going to be starving out and dying in mass droves very soon. Cuba has fallen.
I would like to solve the puzzle. I would like to solve the puzzle. I would like to solve the puzzle.